So that it's just when they came to California, starving to death with no corn and stuff, that they lost us some smarts. And they all had sunshine, just got to them. But they stayed in Oklahoma, and they're very smart. I got an example over here, probably the smartest guy I know. And the Oklahoma Mafia, Jimmy's privately trained group, is out exceeding the kids from New Haven, Connecticut, and people from, what is that town where Harvard is?
Cambridge.
Cambridge, Mass. They can handicap so much better than those people that it's pitiful. So don't ever judge someone by their cover. And I always say that don't ever judge a book by the hardness of its cover. Because hardback books do not compete very well with self-published books. Okay, where were we? Marion Jones took, we always do this to our smart people. We did T. George for a while. We had enough respect for him to do that to him. We just send the program, no instructions, no documentation, not even the slightest hint of how to use it, and say, here it is, have fun. Marion Jones, we said, oh, hey, you got that program yet, Marion? No, I didn't. Send it down to Marion. Nothing comes. She gets a little disc. And which way do you put it in? And he just goes with it. And I think that his attitude of being able to go without any instructions or without getting confused by constructions is pretty good. And now you got to admit, face it. Marion is a very bright guy, and what's his real secret of winning? His real secret is he's not going to let a chance of being a winner passing by. The big problem with an affluent white society is that you think of gambling, throwing away money, easy come, easy go. There's going to be a day when that won't work for the most affluent of white society. Marion was raised under hardship, and Marion does not let any chances escape me. And it's funny, you know, when mothers are the invention of necessities. Mothers are the invention of necessities. Is that a saying? Oh, necessity is the mothers of invention. That's it. In my case, my mother was the invention of this. Necessity. But Marion takes it seriously. He's not a serious guy. He's funny, humorous, laughing at you or with you or at himself. But by gosh, he does not let a gold mine go undug. So I'm going to turn it over to Marion for a while.
It's all right if I stand down.
Oh, you may stand, sir.
I get tired of sitting down.
Oh,
I don't got it.
That's why you left us.
I don't like to sit too much.
You don't even sit at the satellite.
No, I laying in bed and my thing. I don't mind laying in bed. Since so much has happened to us, in the past couple of years in relationship to handicapping, I think we tend to ignore some of the basic concepts of handicapping to some extent, because we realize that we have in our hands some tools that far outweigh anything that's ever been produced for this particular line of work. Something I never forget is the racing form. The racing form, see? We couldn't use any of these programs without the racing form. So I kind of keep a racing form around with me most of the time because it's an interesting thing to me. It goes way back, you know, and we look at the energy, which is the brainchild of KGN. It's going to be the brainchild of many programs to come, whatever comes in the future, energy will have predicted that this would happen. Now, if you go back to the early years of this country when the people first came here, they all had some kind of sense of imagination. They had some dreams, you know, that there was something mysterious about this whole universe. You know, Columbus would have never discovered America if he hadn't thought in that way, that the world was not square, it was round, and beyond the ocean there must be something else out there someplace. And so he started out on a journey and eventually reached America. Now, in handicapping thoroughbred races, the same thing happens. We keep moving in new directions because of the fact that we do believe that there is something better, something greater, something that we have never had an opportunity to look at mentally nor by eyesight. Now, energy is something that's happened that's so mysterious, and yet still we're able to look at it with our eyes. You know, that's another sense we're able to use. You know, when we think about energy, we realize that, and we were using velocity, we figured that a horse, he ran a certain number of feet per second, and he distributed his energy a certain way. But the distance and the time in which he ran the race would use up his energy, and we didn't know how to take this amount of energy that this particular horse used, or figure out how much he actually had, in order to perceive or to come up with a program or formula that would allow us to eventually have this particular program energy. Now, Doc and Jim the Hat Bradshaw did this. It was conceived by Doc, and they took it, and Jim worked with it and worked with Doc, and now we have it. Now we have that, the energy, and we also have KGN. Now, it gives us a broader spectrum of what actually happens in a horse race. We're able to look beyond what we used to, just velocity or pace of the race, those kinds of factors that we always use. Now, how does the racing form get into this? Because years ago, we didn't have any of it. We had the racing form without times. They didn't give us a lot of information in the racing form. We had to be able to predict how the race would end up, who would be the winner, by what we had in the back of our minds, what we looked and saw in the racing form, and we matched each horse against one against another in our minds and projected the winner. So, you know, it's not so mysterious after all, is it? Because we're able to use our minds. We're able to see beyond just this particular area. We can look all over the entire thing, entire picture. Now, some of you never probably been to a fortune teller. Many of you probably have and won't tell it. You know, because there's something mysterious about this whole big thing of being that since man came down out of the tree and started to walk, and then he started to communicate, you know, and he realized he was a being, that he was here, there was something mysterious about his entire being. So there's a lot of mystery, there's a lot of things around us we still don't know about, and we keep attempting to learn about. And we've run into people like Doc and Jim the Hat Bradshaw, And then somehow I thought about these things, and suddenly we see them with our eyes. We're able to look at them. Been here all the time. The moon was out there. It was out there all the time. They decided they were going to walk on it. So they made some attempt. They learned how to get there. I remember when I was in high school, they were talking about how many hundred years it would take you to go to the moon by train. Because that was our mode of transportation. Airplanes. Airplanes didn't go very fast. They told you how many years it would take you to get there by an airplane. We're at the speed of an airplane today. And these guys, they developed rockets and went to the moon and walked around on the moon, and it was so mysterious to many people, they still don't believe those guys went there. They say, oh, they made a movie somewhere in Hollywood. So when you look at it, you can't do that. You gotta let that inner you. That's something that lies in the depths of all of us. You've got to let that project itself, come to the surface, and give you an idea of what is actually going on in the race. Some thoughts that runs deeper than just adding 45.3 and 1/10 and ones and figuring out what the last quarter going to be. Think beyond that. That is in all men and all women. Now, we can, we talk about these kind of things, and it didn't just happen. We didn't, humans didn't just start thinking about, if you think about people who believe, have strong beliefs about certain religions and all that, they have the same kind of concept, that there is something beyond what I actually know about. There's something that I'm attempting to grasp onto somewhere within my soul or within the depths of myself. And this is something that we can use. This is something we use when we deal with energy. This is something we use when we deal with KGN. If we argue about it all, it doesn't make any sense. It's not 1 + 1 gets me 2. If we can't see any farther than that, then we're going to have real trouble in becoming real winners in this profession. When Howard gives me a program, I just take it and figure out how to get it, in the computer to get the program up, figure out, he won't even tell me that. He just sends me the program. I said, well, man, let's see if I can get this thing to come up in the computer. I said, must be okay. It must be a way to get it up. And I get it up, and I start looking at it, and I start working with it. And I work with it a few days, and I see the mystery of it all. And that's what I've been looking for. From the early beginning, when I first started out in life, I was looking for something beyond what the everyday man was going to do and the everyday woman was thinking about. I was looking just beyond that, beyond the hill. There was a man that was a very good friend of mine who in the early years of his life had been in thoroughbred racing. And this man, we had traveled, our paths had many times been parallel, and it didn't cross until the sunset of his life, when he began to ail in his life. And And it's a wonderful thing that he had been searching for many answers about thoroughbred racing. And he had an opportunity in the latter years of his life to see this thing happen through Howard and Jim Head Bradshaw. This man is Glenn Smock. Glenn Smock and I spent a lot of time together. And we had a lot in common. But when I met Glenn, he was getting along in the years and he had some illness. And many times I would do the races. We got a chance, we worked with synergism, we saw the mystery of synergism. We saw this thing take a particular horse past performance line and put it in the use that to project how the race was going to run. And the others had to match up against it. We're getting away from variance. And then we came out with energy, and we got a chance to work with energy, but he was much more ill than what he thought he was, and I would work the races, and he would come down to San Diego, and we would go to the track together, and sometimes before the races, he would come early, I'd still be working on the races in my house. He'd come over his door, and we'd sit there and talk about it, and this thing unfolded to him, and he got a chance to see it before his life had ended. This was a glorious thing for him. He had thought about it for many years. He had been around racetracks, seen so many things happen. But he knew that something had happened in thoroughbred racing through Howard Sardin that allowed him, before his life had ended, to actually grab the brass ring. Something that you might not weigh so heavily because of the fact that many of you haven't been in this business many years. Some of you quite some time, but many of you just starting out in it. And when I started out in it, you had to have a sense, a deep sense of concentration, whereas that you could take your brain, your mind, and make things happen at the racetrack. I'm grateful to these people, Howard and Jim Head Bradshaw. I'm grateful to them. And that is why I do not question the work that they do. Because I know for every job that has to be done, somebody will come to do it. And I thank you.
Thank you, Marion, very much. It's a wise man who can be an humble man and not, Marion in handicapping is so much smarter than either than Jim or I in certain things he sees. And of course we utilize what he knows and try to put it into computers. His wisdom, the greatest height of his wisdom is that he doesn't think he's so smart that he can't be smarter. How often do you go to the track and meet people who are just the opposite of that? I had a story this morning. Guys coming to one of our seminars. Hey, you know, I went to that seminar. I figured that out. We were doing that back in New York in the 20s. And I won $47,000 there. And I hope you're not disappointed when you go to the seminar because, you know, those guys, they tear up a lot of tickets. You don't see too many winners. It's a bunch of hogwash and that type of thing. Hey, he made $47,000. He's the only one who can do it because he's so smart. Everybody, all these race aficionados, most of them, have to be smarter than the next guy. It's so much fun to go to the track, and if you can go to one where you're not recognized, which is getting tougher for us now, and just listen to the crowd. Hey, I wouldn't bet that horse. You show me. Who do you like, buddy? Well, I don't mind telling them. I'm looking at the one of the three. The one of the three. Hey, come on, only one horse going to win the race. Which one? One of the three. I'll take the three. Oh, and then he looks at it. I wouldn't bet that horse with your money. Then when it comes in, you say, yeah, I know you had it. Don't give me none of that I told you so stuff. But that horse ran that same race 10 times. He'd lose 9 times. He knows all this, see? Marion Jones would never tell you that he's going to lose 9 times. He's smarter than this guy by a mile and a half. But he's not going to tell you that if he ran 9 times against each other, he'd lose all but that one the time that he won. Have you ever... I'm not talking unrealistic, am I? This is the way horse players talk. How about the... Oh, jeez, I knew that horse. I knew that horse is going to win. How many times, let's listen sometime after a race. Get with the crowd. Don't go up to the elite section where they're polite. Get down with the main, everybody. I knew that horse was going to win. Throw the program in there. And then, of course, there's the favorite one is the guy who's, all the big jockeys have it out for him. I mean, they personally take great delight. Shoemaker would not retire until he was pushing whatever he is, 60, because this one guy at Santa Anita and Hollywood Park, wherever Shoemaker, he just had to stay racing to torment this one guy. Because this guy swears to God that Shoemaker only rides so that when I bet on him, he loses, and when I don't bet on him, he wins. He's got me singled out. And he seems to see Shoemaker doing like this to him when he rides by with a winner and laughing when he rides by with a loser. He paranoid enough to really...